Hey, this is Kyle Clark. You're listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News and streaming live same time on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. It is the blessing that is the curse. The drought-busting snow that we need is now falling and sticking, but with trees leafed out early, that could bring down branches and cause all kinds of trouble. Crispy Donkey says this is bonus snow. This is early arrival stuff. Main event is yet to come. That's a live look outside the 9 News studios at Spear and Logan in Denver. Our man in the mountains, Corey Reppenhagen, took this video along Highway 36 southeast of Estes Park. Look at that. That's thick. We're going to check in with Corey in a minute. He says he's got a foot of snow there. But first, anybody this afternoon who said, "Where's the snow?" You can send your signed apology to Mr. Chris Bianchi, 500 Spear Boulevard, Denver, Colorado, 80203.
You know, it's a Denver's meteorologist rite of passage is before the snowstorm. You must get a line of caps lock comments saying, "Where is the snow?" It has arrived, as you've noticed. And as you were saying correctly here, Kyle, this is not the main event. This is, in a sense, bonus snow, as you were just saying. I'll show you why in just a second. But first of all, we are seeing steady snow. And here, even in the 9 News backyard, temperatures have already dropped to 33 degrees. Airport, Boulder, Arapahoe County Airport, Centennial Airport, South Metro area, we've already seen those temperatures drop down to freezing. So this is already a little earlier. We're not even at sunset yet. Temperatures below freezing. It is snowing steadily. It is sticking. So this is a potential, I would caution, a potential lean towards this being more of a boom scenario, because this is still the main event. We still got to get through this. This is going to bring down the colder and snowier conditions for tonight and early tomorrow morning. So again, this is the main event. What we're seeing right now, a little mid-level banding coming together right over the Front Range. So next few hours, we may get a brief lull between about 7 and 10 p.m. before that second wave arrives, and that'll give us some of that steady snow through the overnight time frame and tomorrow morning. So again, Kyle, the main emphasis is this is just the beginning of what will likely be a 12 to 16-hour snow event for us in Denver, and I would lean on the high side with those totals based on what we're seeing right now.
Well done, Crispy. Thank you. Never too late for the snow that the high country's been missing this winter. Our man in the mountains for the day, Corey Reppenhagen, is up there, what, near Estes Park, where you guys got off to quite the head start.
Yeah, I mean, it came in hot and heavy here at about 5 a.m., and it has not let up at all since then. So pretty much all day long. This is the Larimer County foothills here at Estes Park, what appears to be ground zero, or the bullseye for this epic spring May snow monster. And we've got the snow still coming down pretty heavy. Take a look here at the snow, just almost coming up to my knees already out here. I just got a measurement of 16 inches right here in the downtown Estes Park area. You can see the cars out here in this lot. They probably got to work early this morning at about 5 a.m. You can see about 15 to 16 inches piled up on top of this car. And Kyle, this is what we in the foothills, we call these snowhawks, because obviously, man, it looks like when you get 15 inches of snow up on that car like that, you can drive those around with pride for a little while, but you got to get those cleaned off from the top eventually. As far as the snow out here having an impact, I mean, the roads are covered, the highways are covered, the trees are covered. Believe it or not, there you can see the flocked snow on this pine tree. The snow is still kind of powdery. It's 31 degrees up here in Estes Park, but when the sun comes out tomorrow, we may have 2 feet of snow on these trees, and that is going to turn them into very heavy objects. These branches will probably start breaking in some areas tomorrow. And as far as the roads, this is what's unusual about this May storm. A lot of May storms up here in the foothills, the roads are usually all right, but the parking lots are completely covered in snow, all the side streets, and all the passes coming up. There's 3 passes that come up into Estes Park, and all 3 of them have crashes, and they're all covered with snow. And this is all going to gradually melt and seep into the soil over the next 2 days. Live in Estes Park, I'm meteorologist Corey Reppenhagen for the 9 News Weather Impact Team.
Happier than a pig in slop. Corey out in his element. Thanks, sir. President Trump's deportations are a federal operation, but much of the resistance is local. Cities and towns in Colorado and elsewhere working to limit immigration enforcement to the extent that they can. Glenwood Springs is the latest city in our state to take action, while also admitting that the action they could take is largely symbolic. Last week, Glenwood Springs Zoning Commission revoked a special use permit for an ICE holding facility that had been operating there for more than 20 years. Zoning officials said they recently got a hold of federal records showing immigration officers have held people at that facility for more than 12 hours, for longer than the 12 hours that they're allowed under the permit. Zoning Commission says the violations have gone on for years. It's not clear that the revoking the permit is really going to have any impact. The city's attorney told the board that federal agencies are simply encouraged, not required, to follow local rules.
You have more than enough evidence to revoke, but what I do not want is for anybody to be confused about the outcome of you taking that action. It's incredibly important for us as a community to make that statement. For me as the attorney for the city of Glenwood Springs, I have almost no options to enforce that outcome.
This issue is not specific to Glenwood Springs. Last month, city leaders in Alamosa said they were surprised to find an ICE field office being used as a temporary holding facility in violation of its permit. But in Alamosa, they also said they weren't sure they could do anything about it. President Trump offered wildly different estimates of how many people he was promising to deport from America. 16 months into his presidency, hard numbers from the administration are hard to find, but researchers with the Deportation Data Project have the next best thing. They've pieced together federal records showing an exponential surge in detentions and removals. Now, ICE takes issue with the accuracy of the numbers at the regional level, like when you zoom into just Colorado. But the big picture is clear. Our Angelie McCall explains.
Our community has seen raids, immigration enforcement, but to what extent has mostly been anecdotal?
We saw that shift very much last March.
Andrea Loya with nonprofit Casa de Paz could tell you the trends now reflected in data from the Deportation Data Project, showing that ICE arrests across the United States more than quadrupled from 2024 to 2025 under the Trump administration, and eight times as many people are getting picked up without criminal convictions.
We've just seen an increase of that profile be a lot of the folks who they're arresting are people who have never had an encounter with any sort of enforcement.
Casa de Paz helps people during and after detention. She says the profile of those detained has changed, emphasizing long-standing community members.
We saw 610 people in 2025, and a good number of those were locals.
The data shows deportations happening faster, with removals happening within 60 days, increasing from 56% to 63%.
We've seen somebody be picked up and deported as fast as 3 days, which is something that we had not seen before. And at the same time, we have folks who have been sitting in detention for 6-7 months, and they are not being even granted either voluntary departure or deportation.
Trends now seen through data that Loya has witnessed firsthand.
Because from the beginning, this administration has very much said that folks who were immigrants are a target.
ICE can test the information from the Data Deportation Project, though this is information that is gathered directly from document requests from ICE themselves. In a statement, they say that ICE cannot verify the accuracy or the analysis. Kyle.
The other aspect of this, right, is the new arrivals into our country. And you hear the Trump administration say that essentially new arrivals have stopped at the border.
Right. We know that the president has largely taken credit for very few arrivals at the border. What this data shows, though, is that the trend was happening long before Trump took office and was already in effect during late 2024. So that's an interesting thing, right? Administration taking credit, but that trend was already happening.
And we know that it is cyclical, right? There's things the U.S. can do to impact it, things that are happening outside of our country. Angeline, thank you. Well, that didn't take long. Feds warned that they'd sue the city of Denver if Denver didn't roll back a decades-old assault weapons ban. Denver told the Trump administration to shove it yesterday, so today the feds sued. Denver's had a ban on certain kinds of weapons since 1989. The city attorney says this has already gone through court. But the Department of Justice sent a letter to the city last week asking city leaders to stop enforcing the ban. After Denver Mayor Mike Johnson literally said hell no to that request yesterday, the Department of Justice filed their case in federal court today. Their lawsuit claims the ban is politically charged, says it's a violation of the Second Amendment, They want a federal judge to stop Denver from enforcing it. The DOJ has also threatened to sue over a state law that bans high-capacity magazines, which the DOJ says functionally is an assault weapons ban. That ban has already been upheld at the state Supreme Court level.
We're praying every single day. Every single day, we are praying for moisture.
Prayers answered for Colorado's ranchers, who tell us they were running out of contingency plans. And state wildlife workers want us to be on the lookout for river otters. I am not confident that I could identify a river otter. But don't worry, we have a helpful guide with pictures next. Colorado's ranchers are looking to the sky right now and hoping for more. The drought that's an annoyance or a curiosity for many of us is a threat to their livelihoods. Our Mark Salinger takes us to a ranch in northern Colorado.
We're praying every single day. Every single day we are praying for moisture.
A muddy pasture is a welcome sight at Chardulo Ranch.
We woke up in the middle of the night last night and we heard rain and we opened the window and I was just like, thank you, Lord, it's raining, it's raining.
Erica and Josh Chardulo have 44 head of cattle on their land outside of Loveland. Water is everything.
We have never seen it this dry.
Less water means less grass. Less grass means not enough hay. And at that point, there's not enough food for the cattle.
It's already such a slim margin for profit that having to cough up extra money for hay or even being able to find hay if we can't, it's going to really put a dent in that bottom line.
Colorado's drought impacts everyone differently. Out here, it's the difference between being able to do what the Chardulos do and having to sell off the cattle.
Water is life. Water is everything to us.
We rely on the grass. We're 100% pasture-based, so our cattle only eat the grass. So they'll probably get about half the growth, half the grass, half the pastures available this season.
They've already been told they'll have to pull back on the water they use to irrigate the land this summer. There's simply not enough water in the rivers and reservoirs.
This will be the first year in 7 years where we've really had our water restricted, so we're going to get about half the amount of water.
So on a day like today,
we are so thankful for the snow right now.
A muddy pasture brings hope.
You have to just kind of smile and take what nature gives you and just keep putting your best foot forward, and we know that we'll find our way.
26 of the cows behind me are pregnant right now, and the calves are going to be born in the next month or so. That's why a storm like this is so important. They need all the grass that they can get to feed their calves as soon as they're born. In Loveland, for Next, I'm Mark Salinger.
We've also heard from farmers here who tell us that they can't plan to plant all of their acreage this year because of the potential lack of water. Some farmers are letting acreage sit empty rather than planting crops and risking eventually not having the water to keep those crops going. Meteorologist Chris Bianchi, obviously anything that we get is good, and we know that the bulk of it is yet to come.
Kyle, Fort Collins has already picked up as much rain, as much water today as they've picked up in the rest of the year combined, just about. So put that in perspective. This is a very meaningful amount of water that we're seeing here along the Front Range. This is a serious help to our drought. Very good news. The fingers crossed kind of aspect to this is, can we avoid a higher impact snowstorm, which is still very much in question? We're seeing that snow right now not falling as heavily as it was a little while ago. Still the heaviest snow to come. It'll come after about 10 o'clock tonight with that snow behind a cold front that'll bring us that steadier snow after midnight until about 9 a.m. tomorrow. Then it clears out. Snowfall amounts, I like to look at it this way. 4 to 8 inches, most likely in Denver. There's still a 30% chance that we end up with 9 or more inches. And I would say that those odds have increased because of the bonus snow we're getting right now. And of course, because it's a 7-day forecast in Denver, Colorado in May, we've got a major snowstorm and 85 degrees in the same 7-day outlook.
Snowstorm in May means Denver's cold weather shelters are getting a little late season encore. As usual, not everyone wants to come inside. Denver's activating its cold weather shelter plan tonight. City started opening extra shelter space about 20 minutes ago. Denver activates the cold weather setup when it drops below 25 degrees, when the National Weather Service issues a cold weather advisory, or when the city's expected to get at least 2 inches of snow. But we know that it's certainly not for everyone. One woman living on the street told us that she's going to try to stay warm and dry on her own tonight because she simply doesn't feel safe at the shelters.
Shelters are kind of dangerous, actually. Like, I went there once and I was threatened to be stabbed in the neck if I looked the lady's direction. So that was my first and only, nope, no thank you.
Alma told us she hopes to stay at a friend's house tonight. The city's cold weather shelters will be open till 11 o'clock Thursday morning for anybody who chooses to come in from the cold. Would you know a river otter if you were looking at it? Why are you looking at me like that? I'm not a river otter. We're talking about this because it's the 50th anniversary of river otter reintroduction in Colorado, and the state wants people's help in spotting and counting them to see where exactly they live. Now, first step, teach people what a river otter looks like. Apparently, they are routinely mistaken for other animals. So the state put out some photos as a guide, and we helpfully made some additions.
This is a river otter. It has a long, torpedo-like body. This is not a river otter. It's a beaver. It has a round body. This is also not a river otter. It's a muskrat. Bald, rat-like tail. This is not a river otter. It's a mink. It has a long body, but not round or torpedo-like. You still following here? This, also not a river otter. It's a seal. They don't live here. This is not a river otter. It's a sea lion. They're ginormous. Also don't live here. This is not a river otter. This is me at my heaviest during the pandemic. Round body. Does live here. No tail. And again, this is your river otter, folks. This is what you're looking for.
You feel confident now on this? We got this. You can participate in the River Otter Tracking Project by going to the Colorado Parks and Wildlife website. Your find might even be featured as their otter photo of the month on social media, unless you send them a photo of a non-otter, which would be pretty humiliating, especially now that you have that handy guide. And we have two young women from Kent, Denver, who are here with us today, Tanya and Tatum. Y'all are here learning about journalism, and you're very excited for your snow day tomorrow?
Yes, we are.
Well, we don't have a snow day.
You don't have a snow day yet?
Yeah.
Who has to decide this?
Mr. Bramer.
Mr. Bramer, he's the guy who needs to decide. Mr. Bramer, he's a smart man.
Smart man.
Kind man.
Kind man.
Kind man. He's a generous man.
Generous man.
Generous man, and he watches this program. Let's see if we can get a snow day for Kent, Denver. Feedback next. Feedback from Rebecca, who says no snow haiku from Corey Reppenhagen today. How disappointing. Here's the deal, Rebecca. He was kind of up to his butt today. I mean, he was up to his shins in snow, and then he was on TV every 20 minutes. We were asking a lot of that, man. We'll get you a haiku soon. Bob and Chris in Englewood want more notice when we get moved here to Channel 20, the secondary channel. We've been bumped a lot due to basketball. I apologize for that. There's nothing we can do about it. You might want to develop the habit of finding us, though, streaming on 9 News Plus, because we're there every weeknight. Chris says, please tell me where Kyle got the jacket he's wearing. My husband loves it. I feel weird to say the brand on TV, but Chris, shoot me an email, next@9news.com. I'll hook you up. Stay cozy, my friends.
Thanks for listening to the podcast version of Next. Catch us live weeknights at 6 Mountain Time on 9 News. Streaming live, same time, on 9 News Plus. Email me anytime at next@9news.com. Next producer is Mallory Harris. Our digital producer is Marilyn Moore. Our visual editor is Jeff Sartell. Our reporters include Marshall Zellinger, Mark Salinger, Angeline McCall, and Evan Kruel. Misty Montano is 9 News' digital director. I'm Kyle Clark. I'll see you next time.